Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we are continuing our sermon series entitled The Thief We Let In, and we're talking about how technology and social media can steal things from us. It's this thief that we allow into our life, and we find that it is stealing things from us. We've talked about how it can steal our contentment by our constantly comparing our lives to others, a filtered version, which we're going to talk about some today. And we talked about how it can steal our relationships, how our relationships can really become one way, and we'll talk some more about that. But today we're going to talk about how it can steal our authenticity. This word authentic, it has several definitions. Some of it have to do with like it's the real article, like it's not a fake baseball card, but it's a real baseball card. But that's really not what we're worried about. There's two definitions that are of interest to us today. And the first is not false, real. The second definition is true to one's own character. Now, I don't know if you caught this in the video, but the young girl took a selfie, and then she was using some filters to adjust how she looked. She was using these filters to adjust her outward appearance to the rest of the world. She is altering the way she is perceived. None of you do that, right? Alter the way the world sees you, maybe? Filter your pictures, even, maybe? We don't do that. We try to present our best to the world and sort of hide what's really happening in our life. So our text today talks a little bit about that. It talks about a veil. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. But before we talk about that, I need to remind you what Paul is writing about, what he is referencing. He is referencing Exodus 34. And this is where Moses has gone back into the presence of God. He's basically getting a second copy of the Ten Commandments because he broke the first ones. So he went as up there and he was getting these Ten Commandments using the presence of God for a good number of days, and he comes down to see the people and brings them the tablets with the commandments on them, and his face is shining. He has been in the presence of God, and so he has this glow about him that is quite heavenly, and Paul is writing about that. He says this, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside, but their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the old covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. So Paul is talking about Moses having put this veil over his face, not really to protect the people from his shine, his glory, but because his glory was fading. And he did not want his people to see that the glory from his being in the presence of the Lord was fading away. He did not want the people to see that this was happening. Paul uses this image of the veil to show what Saint Augustine says, and he's talking about Scripture. He talks about the Old Testament being a step towards glory, and the New Testament being the summit of the glory of God. So Paul is talking about this veil that is falling over the people of Israel, that they are unable to see or hear the true nature of Jesus, but it is in the revelation of Jesus that we have unveiled faces, that veil is removed from us, and that we reflect the glory of Jesus in our unveiled faces as we are followers of Jesus, as we are becoming true and better disciples of Jesus, that we reflect his image in our face. Is that not a beautiful thought? That our being real and authentic in our following of Jesus, we reflect the image of Jesus. Now, I'm sure that if I'm reflecting any kind of image of Jesus, it looks something like what you might see in one of those funhouse mirrors, right? Where you're all distorted. We're talking about authenticity today. And I sometimes am accused of perhaps being too authentic, too real. And I will let you know that your pastor is well aware that he is a sinful man, and that without the grace and the glory of God, I'd be in deep trouble. Just as all of you would be in deep trouble without this amazing grace and love of God. So I am reminded every day how grateful I am for this unmerited grace. Paul uses this image of a veil that is used to hide something. Today I want to talk about a technological thing called a filter. Filters have really changed. It used to be you could just like sort of soften it, or maybe turn it to a sepia tone. You could make some little alterations to it. They now have apps that can completely change your appearance. So let me show that first picture. We'll show you a before and after. This is my daughter, Grace, who just got married. And what you can't see is her husband, Ben, is bald. He has no hair. He keeps it very shaved. And so my daughter made a picture of herself with a bald head. Let's see that. That is not her. Was this you, Leanne? Did you switch these? I look like a skunk. Why did you make me look like a skunk? Oh, that's my skinny jean pastor look. That's it. Awesome. Clearly, you need some more work. We can alter our appearance with technology significantly. You know, you could have at least taken a few pounds off while you were at it. It's a filter. It's not magic, she says. Awesome. So I don't know really what's happening in the dating app world, but you got to be careful what you think you're buying. So we can use these filters to alter how the world sees us. Not just filters on pictures. I mean, I don't know about you, but When I was posting on social media, I would spend some time crafting it, editing it. Sometimes I'd even get another opinion on this. Hey, have I said anything that's like really too crazy? It's going to get me flamed, right? Spend some time working on it and editing it. Now, I also am aware that there are some folks out there that don't have a single unposted thought, right? You know what that person has had for breakfast. You know what they're thinking about for lunch. You know what color shoes they're wearing and how they have accessorized their outfit. And those folks are out there too. Most of us work on and craft our post. We edit what we say. We edit how we respond to comments from others. Or as we talked about last week, we can choose to not respond at all. Our relationships can become one way, and that we are in strict control of what is said. And it's a filtered version of a relationship. So I was on a sailing forum. I owned a boat, sailboat, for 11 years. And it was basically social media for old fat dudes with sailboats. It's really what it was. I mean, and you know, it was a great forum. You could like post a question about, hey, I have a Hunter 31 and this is broken, and has anybody had this experience? And you would get replies that would like, yeah, you do this, or this is how I repaired that, or this is how I did that. It was really helpful. But I was on it for 11 years, and I could predict with great accuracy how many of the regular posters would respond to certain posts. And then occasionally, someone would kind of make an error in their post, and boy, did they get flamed for their error in their post. It was an interesting time. But I always, if I had any kind of a significant post, edited it and filtered it to make sure that I was asking an intelligent question, right? Because I didn't want to get flamed for asking the stupid question. There have been some studies here of late that have told us that some of our young people are struggling with unfiltered communication. I saw a pastor was talking with some of his young adults, like late teens, early 20s, and these young people confessed that they were terrified of having an unfiltered conversation with another person. So much so that they avoided making telephone calls. And that some of them even admitted that they would script a telephone call in advance, even for something as easy as ordering a pizza. Because I'm not sure why they would call to order a pizza. You can do it all online these days. But there was a lack of comfort among our young people with these unfiltered conversations. You see, our social media allows us to hide our real self behind this filtered version of ourselves. Let me hasten to point out, brothers and sisters, this ain't new. Hypocrites have been around for a long, long time. We have been doing that all of our life. We always present to the world our best self, right? Our best manners. And then there's the stuff we do at home. There's the way we behave at home. I mean, isn't it true that our loved ones see the worst of us? Because we let our real self show? We have been doing this for a very long time. We present ourselves as one way in public and function another within the four walls of our home. I was reminded of this. I learned early on in my life that there's like what you see, and then there's what really is. And I was reminded of that early in my banking career. I had a coworker that I envied his life. He had a great church home, beautiful wife, great kids, just really seemed to have it all together. And I kind of envied it. I kind of wanted to have some of that. And I got to work early one day, and my friend was there, and he looked like maybe he'd slept there at the bank where I worked. And I walked in, I said, man, what's wrong? And he proceeds to tell me that his wife has some mental health issues and that she's been having this long-term affair with a doctor. She was a nurse, and that his life was a mess, and he just didn't know what he was going to do. And I was reminded, I don't know anything about what's happening inside of a marriage. I don't know anything about what is happening inside the real life of another person. So my question for you today is, what kind of filter are you using? How are you altering the world's perception of you? What kind of filter are you using to show the world who you are? Now, our text today talks about by the idea that when we turn to the Lord, that veil is gone. And that can be true for us. When we turn to the Lord, we can let our authentic self shine through as a follower of Jesus. We can allow our authentic love of Christ to flow out of us. So what are you telling the world you're about? Maybe you're posting pictures of yourself as the perfect mom or the perfect dad. But really what's happening in your house is you're running around with your hair on fire, just trying to keep it all together. Or maybe you're posting yourself as some adventurer, but at the end of the day, you're terrified. Maybe you're posting yourself as super dad, but really you ignore your children and your family when you get home. The good news is, when we turn our eyes upon Jesus and allow him to enter into our heart and truly become a follower of Jesus, we can reflect that image of Jesus, that love of God that flows through us. And here's the deal. What is in your heart ultimately will trump whatever filter you're trying to throw up for the world. It will find its way out. It will come out what is in your heart. And so if it's Jesus that's in your heart, Jesus will come out, no matter what kind of filter you're trying to put on this. And if we don't, we don't let our heart come out, you know what happens? We become confused. We don't know who we really are because we've pretended to be this fake person through our filters, through our veil. And we're not letting the real self come through, and we become confused and lost. And we forget who we are, and more importantly, we forget whose we are. We are the child of the living God who died that you might receive grace and forgiveness. Only Jesus can remove that filter that you are trying to show the world. And when we know who we are and whose we are, and we allow the love of Jesus to flow through our hearts, when we are secure in the knowledge of his love and his grace, Then we will know who we are. And more importantly, whose we are. You are the child, the Most High God, who loved you enough to become one of you, one of us, to die, that you might receive this grace. It is in Christ that we find our true identity. It is through Christ that we know who we are and whose we are. We can only be secure in the love of Christ. Whatever filter it is that you're trying to show the world, turn it off. But the light of Christ shine through you. Let us pray. God of grace and God of love, we are so unworthy of the gift that you have given to us. This gift of salvation, this gift of grace, this gift of forgiveness. Father, we know that we will never, ever be worthy of it. So it is a gift to which we greedily say thank you. Help us, Father, to reflect the love of you, of your Son Jesus, in our hearts and in our lives. Allow his love to flow through us in such a way that our image begins to reflect his glory. Father, come, enter our hearts and change them. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.